Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches his people about life in the kingdom of God.
There's something about Jesus' message that seemed to be abolishing the law. One thing was sure, Jesus was certainly making some radical changes. Radical changes. And so it's no surprise that there's a buzz going around Judea that this guy, who's supposed to be the Messiah, is anti-Bible. Anti-law, anti-Old Testament, anti-Scripture. And so before Jesus goes any further in this sermon, before he gets to the part where he starts saying, "You have heard it was said, but I say unto you," he's going to address this whole question of exactly where he stands with regard to the law of God, the Bible. That's the question at hand, and that's the question Jesus is going to answer right now. Look at verse 17. "Do not think that I have come to abolish the law or the prophets." Now that's clear, right? That's pretty clear. So is the law still in force? The Old Testament still in force? The law is very much in force and will always be in force until heaven and earth disappear. Not one dot of an I or cross of a T will drop out of the law of God. That's what Jesus is saying. Jesus believed it was God's word right down to the individual parts of the letters. When he says, not the smallest letter, the least stroke of the pen, that's like saying not the dot of an I or cross of a T, just the little marks of the letters. Nothing will drop out. That's Jesus' attitude about the law. And Jesus' relationship with the Old Testament scriptures went way beyond just what he believed. I mean, all that is what he believed about it, but his relationship with it went beyond that. He used it to live his life. He did. He drew strength from it. Jesus was Almighty God, and yet in the weakness of his human flesh, he needed to be strengthened and empowered in times of testing. And guess what he used for strength? You know, you might think that Jesus had such an amazing prayer life. I mean, he did. And you might think his prayer life was so rich that all it would take for him to be strengthened would be to go to his Father in prayer and ask for strength. That wasn't all it took. That's not the case. When Jesus did battle with Satan in the desert, what did Jesus use to win that battle? Scripture. He went to the book of Deuteronomy for strength. And it wasn't just Jesus that honored the Old Testament scriptures. The writers of the New Testament drew all their teaching from the Old Testament. For example, Paul's whole doctrine of salvation by faith alone in the book of Romans all comes right out of Genesis 15. It's all based on the Old Testament. Stick your Bible in your hand for just a second. Just pick it up and hold it for a second. You realize what you're holding in your hand right now? I mean, just think of it. I mean, there isn't even time for me to summarize all that Scripture says about what's here. So I'm just going to give you a few things that I found from the Psalms. I went through the Psalms to see what God claims. What claims he makes about his word, just in the book of Psalms. Here's a few things that Psalm says about Scripture. And I'm not gonna give you the references for these because some of them have 10 or 20 different references, but it's all in the manuscript if you want that. First and foremost, Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, are God's revelation of himself to us. God is a God who teaches and instructs his people and reveals himself to his people. Apart from God revealing himself, it would be absolutely impossible for us to discover any single fact about God. Everything God ever revealed about himself is in here. It's the only way to know God. And it's the source of all truth, the Psalm says. Some other things from the Psalms. It says, the Word of God is eternal and perfect and flawless. His word is wonderful. His word is good. It is awesome. It is true. It is the absolute standard of right and wrong and truth and error. It says that resistance to his word is absolutely futile. Those who obey his word, it says, are a delight to be around. And those who are do not obey are worthy of shame. His word is worthy to be trusted. It is worthy to be desired. It is worthy of hope. It is worthy of trembling. It is worthy to be praised and rejoiced in. It is worthy to be studied, considered, sought, memorized, and obeyed. This word is the medium through which God gives blessing. It is the pipeline from heaven. It is the medium through which we receive life. All of this is in the Psalms. His word gives us wisdom. His word gives us understanding, enlightenment, guidance, and insight. It is through His word that we receive grace and comfort. His word enables righteousness and was given to make us loyal and trusting. It is through His word that we can experience the nearness of His presence. Psalm says that His law is light, it is pure, it is righteous, it is preferable to anything in this world, it is supremely valuable, it is exalted above all, it is delightful, it is sweeter than honey, it revives the soul and preserves life, it sustains and gives strength, it touches the affections, it causes hatred for sin and gives joy to the heart.
Hallelujah.
You believe all that?
Amen.
Jesus did. Jesus believed all that. You imagine letting a treasure like that sit around and collect dust in your house all week? Did Jesus abolish the law of God? Why on earth would Jesus abolish that? What would be the point of abolishing that? Something so wonderful. Those people who teach that God's law has been set aside, very often they'll speak of the law as something bad. They speak of the Old Testament in negative terms, something that's opposed to grace. You know, they say, well, there's law and then there's grace. Law and grace are not opposed to each other. The law of God is an unending fountain of grace. It is a geyser of grace filling up oceans of grace. It's a source of grace. Psalm 119:29, be gracious to me through your law. And that's not just an Old Testament idea either. In the New Testament, it's grace too. John 1:16. We have all received grace upon grace from His fullness. And for the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. What He's saying there is the law was grace, and Jesus is even more grace. Jesus fulfilling the law is not grace canceling out non-grace. It is grace heaped upon other grace. Which means the law is a fountainhead of grace. Jesus did not abolish the law. He had no reason to abolish the law because the law is a fountain of grace from God. And it's never going to be abolished. Not as long as heaven and earth exist, it will not be abolished. If the sun comes up in the morning, that means your entire Bible is valid that day. And those who think there's something wrong with it, it's no longer worthy of our attention, no longer worthy of our devotion, of our obedience. Those people should stop passing judgment on the Word of God based on their own heart as the standard and start judging their own heart with the Word of God as the standard.
Yeah.
The problem isn't that there's something wrong with the Bible or the Old Testament or that it's unworthy to be obeyed. Rather, there's something wrong with them and they're not worthy of God's Word. People say the Bible is out of date, needs to be reinterpreted. John MacArthur says, if you think that, then maybe you're out of date. You need to be reinterpreted. That's good. Nothing wrong with God's holy word. Absolutely no reason for it to ever be abolished.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series, your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowdfunded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.